You are listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Kat Arney, and with Ben Valsler. Now, it's time to get back to our kitchen science, the alchemical experiment of trying to turn soot into silver. Let's find out what's going on.
Welcome back to Kitchen Science, where we're trying to get silver, or at least something a bit like it, from soot. What we asked you to do earlier was take something that won't burn and won't melt. What we've chosen to use is a ceramic mug, because it fits all those conditions, and put it in the yellow part of a candle flame. What we've been able to do is get a good thick layer of soot on about half of the mug, so it now looks quite black. Now, Dave, the next stage is to put this underwater, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. I've got it here and I just put it in the sink full of water.
Okay, so we're going to submerge our soot-blackened cup into a sink full of normal water. I think Dave's used cold water, but then if you're going to put your hands in it, you might want to use something slightly warmer. And in it goes. That's quite amazing. The blackened bits, instead of looking black, when the mug is underwater, they look silvery and shiny. So this is what you meant about getting silver from soot.
Yeah, that's right. And the other really interesting thing is if you take it out again.
Okay, so we're just going to lift it back out of the water. The silver's gone straight away. Some of the soot is washed off, but the sooty part is totally dry. All the rest of the mug has a thin layer of water on it, but the sooty part is bone dry, just like it was before you put it underwater.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'd be expecting.
So somehow a layer of soot not only makes this cup appear shiny and silvery, but it also actually keeps it dry. What's going on here?
Well, soot, even in quite large lumps, is fairly hydrophobic. It doesn't like water. This is because water molecules attract other water molecules very strongly, and they don't really interact with soot very strongly, so they'll tend to keep themselves to themselves.
So soot, chemically, actually repels water. It doesn't like water, and the water won't stick to it.
Well, it will stick to it if you try very hard. If you add some washing up liquid, or if you really violently agitate the water next to it, it will stick to it. The soot on this mug actually has another advantage. It's not smooth. It's actually very, very rough on a nanoscale.
So is that because of the way that you've laid it down? Just by holding it in a flame, you wind up with a very rough surface?
That's right. You get lots of lumps of it forming inside the flame, which then kind of randomly condense in a big kind of pile on the surface.
And so how does the surface being really rough, in a very small scale, a nanoscale roughness, how does that make it even less attractive to water?
Well, you remember me saying earlier that water molecules attract each other very strongly. This means they have a property called surface tension. And so the surface is trying to shrink all the time. So if the water touches a couple of the peaks in this rough surface, the water surface is trying to get as small as possible and it won't touch the rest of the soot. So you get a layer of air between the soot and the water.
So instead of flowing down into the valleys of the rough surface of soot, it just kind of sits suspended on the higher peaks of it. And so you get little gaps between all of these peaks. But how does that make it look silvery?
Well, because the soot is incredibly hydrophobic, then you get a layer of air trapped between the soot and the water. This means that you've got another surface of water. If you ever looked upwards at the surface of the water in a swimming pool, it looks very shiny and mirror-like. This is due to a process called total internal reflection, where light will get perfectly reflected off the inside of a layer of water. So when you look at the sooty layer, you're actually seeing the inside of a layer of water, which perfectly reflects light, and so it looks silvery.
So the structure and the chemical nature of the soot means that we get an extra layer of water, and that bounces light back at us and looks silvery and mirror-like. And this layer of air that gets trapped there must sort of protect the soot from mixing in the water, and that's why when we pull it back out of the water, the soot is dry.
Yeah, that's right, and the same principle is used in nature all over the place to make surfaces which repel water and keep themselves clean. So various orchid flowers will have a very rough, slightly waxy surface, so when water hits it, instead of sticking, it forms droplets and rolls off, taking any dirt with it.
And so this is why you get those beautiful photographs of rose petals with gorgeous droplets of water on, instead of just a layer of water all over the whole thing.
And it's also why it's so hard to wash a peach properly. The little hairs on it are very water repellent, so water just kind of runs off instead of properly cleaning it.
Well, it may not have solved our financial woes by making real silver out of soot, but it certainly made a nice shiny mug, although I think my fingers might get quite dirty when using it. Well, that's all we have for this week's Kitchen Science. Don't forget to check out our website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, where there are loads more experiments, including other ones involving total internal reflection, such as using water as a fibre optic cable. We'll be back with more experiments next week.
So it's the rough nanostructure of soot that makes it repellent to water, forming a silvery surface on the sooty mug, keeping it dry. We've got a full explanation of this along with loads of other experiments on the website. That's thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience. And Dave will be live in the studio next week with another fantastic experiment that you can try at home.
And if you just can't get enough science experiments, then it's well worth going to thenakedscientist.com/sporran, where Dr. Otherford will show us some experiments that he gets from his kilt. These are Science from the Sporran videos. They're fantastic. They are, of course, starring somebody he looks an awful lot like Dave Ansell and may or may not be Dave Ansell, and our own Diana O'Carroll, who does a wonderful job. They're brilliant. Go and have a look. nakedscientist.com/sporran.
That sounds like an excellent idea, Ben.